From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
To our time, and he travels through the desert on the Arizona power lines. Mark Davis and Mark Baker, and Margaret Millett too. They looked up at those towers, oh, they knew what they must do. Oh, he grands out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand. All come crashing down on you, you know.
Well, and welcome to the Earth First Radio Show. I'm Uncle Dennis, and every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get that pencil and pen, some recycled paper to write down all the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I urge you to take the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls. When you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the road blockade inside of that dragon. If you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep a pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses and information later on in the show. Let's get started. We've got a thick pile of animal news, and I'm going to run through this pretty quick. Let's start off with the Duluth News Tribune reported on July 1st that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will halt timber wolf delisting for several months because the Minnesota legislature failed to pass a state wolf management plan. The state plan failed last spring after the anti-wolf groups, including the Cattlemen's Association, thwarted an already questionable agreement by adding amendments to create a hunting and trapping season for wolves and to regulate artificially low wolf population caps. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials were forced to rewrite the proposal after the state deal had been broken. They reported last week that the federal plan expected this month will now be delayed until at least October. Michigan is home to more of 80% of the wolf population in the continental United States. And while the Clinton administration is proposing to remove bald eagles from the federal endangered species list, state wildlife officials in New Jersey and Connecticut say protections for the species in their states are still needed. Bald eagles haven't nested in large numbers in Connecticut since the 1950s. There are currently 2 nesting pairs in the state. New Jersey's populations reached 21 nesting pairs this year, a 50% increase over 1998, but still too low to remove state protections. Some state wildlife officials are concerned that removal of federal Endangered Species Act protection might be premature. Kathleen Clark, principal zoologist with the New Jersey's Endangered and Non-Game Species Program, said if the eagle loses its protection under the Endangered Species Act, it could lose a degree of habitat protection in some states. Quote, the loss of habitat protection is the biggest danger, she said. According to Clark, New Jersey's land use laws protect rare animal habitats, but other states might have a hard time protecting their eagles from development. Many other state officials are also concerned about loss of federal funding for monitoring eagles when the species is delisted. And the salmon on the Snake River may go extinct sooner than you think. Threatened Chinook salmon in the Snake River could go extinct earlier than estimated previously. A new study released by Trout Unlimited found that efforts to save the declining salmon must be sped up if the fish are to survive. Chinook, returning from their ocean travels to spawn in the spring and summer, once numbered in the thousands in the Snake River in Idaho and eastern Oregon. Now only a few hundred return each year. In 1992, the National Marine Fisheries Service enlisted the Snake River spring and summer Chinook as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. The National Marine Fisheries Service has committed to make decisions by the end of 1999 about the long-term operations of the Federal Columbia and Snake River dams that impact the salmon. The Clinton administration is now considering whether to breach the lower 4 Snake River dams. Decisions related to fish harvest, hatchery operations, and habitat degradation are being examined throughout the Pacific Northwest and in Washington, D.C. Breaching involves removing a portion of each dam to allow the river and the salmon free passage. And from England, surprising both the pro-fox hunting and animal welfare factions, Prime Minister Tony Blair Blair pledged to ban fox hunting with dogs in the United Kingdom as soon as we possibly can. The Labour Prime Minister's promise was made during a nationally televised debate on BBC One's Question Time. Blair said, quote, "It will be banned. We will get the vote to ban it as soon as we possibly can. We had one try last session. It was blocked by the Conservatives in the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And we're looking now at ways of bringing it forward in a future session that allows people to have a vote and actually carry it through. If we try, we can possibly give it the space in the upcoming session of Parliament or the one after that. Many members of the House of Lords are enthusiastic fox hunting supporters. In March 1998, as many as 284,000 rural people traveled to London for a pro-hunting demonstration called the Countryside March through London. Rural people believe that fox hunting ban is an intrusion into their cherished way of life and a potential blow to the rural economy." And the Prime Minister's promise triggered a protest march by fox hunter supporters in front of 10 Downing Street. But the London-based International Fund for Animal Welfare applauded Blair's stunning announcement that hunting with dogs will be banned. The International Fund for the Animal has campaigned for a nationwide ban on hunting with dogs earlier this year. IFAW joined with the British Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals and the League Against Cruel Sports to launch Deadline 2000, a campaign to win a government commitment to ban hunting by the turn of the century. And coastal defenses in Britain are harming wildlife. Two British conservation groups say the UK's system of coastal defense benefits only a few people at the expense of irreplaceable wildlife habitats. All right, and conservation groups and wildlife biologists are alarmed at a recent surge in commercial hunting of wild and rare animals, not for trophies, but for meat. NPR's John Nielsen reported that what's causing this phenomenon and how it seriously threatens wildlife populations in Africa. And an announcement by China Thursday that it had busted smugglers sending animal parts through the mail suggested that Beijing is trying to crack down, but also revealed just how easy smuggling can be and how large the appetite in Asia is for items like monkey skulls and cobra skins. From Brisbane, Australia, one of the marine world's great natural treasures, its coral reef, faces widespread catastrophe from climate change, according to a new scientific projection. Unrestrained warming cannot occur without the complete loss of coral reefs on a global scale, the report states. The coral bleaching that dramatically whitened many of the world's reefs last year is projected to escalate rapidly under accepted global climate models. Within 20 years, it is expected to be commonplace, according to Professor Ove Hoof-Guldberg, a marine biologist with the University of Sydney. He believes that in as few as 30 years, it will be occurring annually. Greenpeace, which launched the report internationally, predicted that the damage would wreak havoc in fisheries and tourism, disrupting the economies of many nations. Bleaching occurs when microscopic plants inhabiting the corals are damaged by slight temperature rises. The flora, or zooxanthellae, which color the coral and provide food, are expelled. If they do not return, the coral will die. Quote, corals tend to die in great numbers immediately following coral bleaching events, which may stretch across thousands of square kilometers of ocean, said the professor, in a report published in Australia's Commonwealth Scientific Industrial Research Organization later this year. And four scientists, including Nobel laureates, signed a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times protesting Mitsubishi Corporation's plan to build a salt factory in Laguna San Ignacio on the Baja California Peninsula in Mexico. The United Nations named Laguna San Ignacio as a World Heritage Site in 1993. It is the last pristine birthing lagoon in the Pacific for the gray whale, and home to many endangered plants and animal species. The scientists call Mitsubishi's plan to pump 6,000 gallons out of the lagoon per second and to flood over 116 square miles to create evaporation ponds an unacceptable risk to the environment. Their statement refutes Mitsubishi's claims that the project will be environmentally friendly. The ad appeared in the New York Times, San Francisco Bay Guardian, and Mexico's La Reforma. Dr. Roger Payne, a whale biologist who helped discover the humpback whale's song, crafted the ad. Mitsubishi needs to recognize the weight of scientific opinion against their plans to turn the California gray whale's last pristine breeding gown into a salt factory, Payne said. It makes no sense to threaten such a unique Mexican and global treasure by converting 116 square miles of crucial habitat into an industrial zone. And four fledgling Puaihoe birds in Hawaii have become the first endangered Hawaiian forest birds to be raised in the wild by birds raised in captivity. Only 200 to 300 of the Puaihoe live in the wild on the island of Kauai. A captive flock of the birds is maintained at the Kanahui Bird Conservation Center near the Volcanoes National Park on the Big Island of Hawaii by the Peregrine Fund, a private conservation organization. The Peregrine Fund raised 23 of the birds in 1998, and in January and February of this year brought 14 of the young birds to Kauai. The birds were held in a hacking tower, a release cage, for 1 week, and then released into their new home in the rainforest of the Alakai Swamp, the wettest place on Earth. The Alakai Swamp was chosen because it offered suitable habitat and already supported a small bird population. Some of the captive bred birds are now interbreeding with wild birds. Quote, "We are all excited that at least seven of the birds have nested this year," said USGS field biologist Eric Tweed. The release effort at this time looks promising in terms of reestablishing a self-sustaining population of Puaihoe in their former range. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service approved a recovery plan Thursday for the endangered Rio Grande silvery minnow. The rare fish now inhabits 5% of its former range, occupying about 163 miles of the middle Rio Grande Valley in central New Mexico. The recovery plan calls for populations of the minnow to be stabilized within the middle Rio Grande and reestablished in at least three other areas of its historic range. The recovery of the species will be achieved under a plan when stable populations are recorded for five consecutive years in both the middle Rio Grande and in other areas. The plan was developed by a team of federal, tribal, state, and local officials. Quote, "We deeply appreciate the teamwork and dedication of these partners who have created a credible plan and credible and workable plan for recovering this New Mexico native," said Nancy Kaufman, regional director of the service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Southwest Region. "Restoring the silvery minnow will keep the New Mexicans protect, will help New Mexicans protect their unique natural, cultural, and economic resources." And landowners' concerns have prompted the Wyoming Game and Fish Department to postpone the release of bighorn sheep into a portion of the historic range along the Oregon Trail in central Wyoming. Several area landowners voiced substantial opposition to the plan to capture bighorn sheep in Nevada and Oregon for relocation in Wyoming. The department said the potential damage to long-term relationships between landowners, sportsmen, and the agency outweighs the benefits of reintroduction. Local historian, community activist, and former game and fish biologist Tom Bell wrote in a recent letter to Governor Jim Geringer that, quote, "The political clout of a few livestock people has prevented any consideration of a most noteworthy project. Historical records indicate sheep inhabited the area when pioneers crisscrossed the West. There are many of us out here who think the bighorn should be returned to their historic range," Bell said. And environmental groups are skeptical of Florida's new Fish and Wildlife Commission. Open for business July 1st, the new agency has full constitutional authority to protect wildlife within the state, except for endangered marine species, including sea turtles, manatees, and right whales. The agency was created last fall when voters passed Amendment 5, which merged the Game and Freshwater Fish Commission and with the Marine Fisheries Commission. Amendment 5 specified the new commission would exercise regulatory and executive powers in the state with respect to marine life, and nothing in the amendment mentions any exceptions, contends David Godfrey of the Sea Turtle Survival League. Save the Manatee Club, along with several other environmental groups, expect to go to court next week to challenge the exception as unconstitutional. If you'd like more information, contact the Sea Turtle Survival League at 352-373-6441. That's 352-373-6441, or the Save the Manatee Club at 407-539-0990. That's 407-539-0990. and about 100,000 farm-raised Atlantic salmon escaped from a commercial fish farm in Washington last month and are swimming free in the Pacific waters of Puget Sound. The pens that held the fish collapsed under extreme tides, according to the owner's Northwest Sea Farms. The fish were released into powerful currents that quickly scattered the schools of fish, environmentalists and fisheries officials fear the non-native fish will introduce disease to endangered native Puget Sound salmon. The Atlantic salmon could even interbreed with their Pacific cousins, and officials will be on the lookout at Puget Sound spawning areas later this year for signs of escapees breeding. Local sports fishermen have been asked to help contain the fish and have hooked thousands of the escaped salmon. Some areas near the fish farm remain closed to fishing as officials fear endangered Puget Sound salmon might be hooked accidentally. This is the second massive escape in 2 years from the farm in Bainbridge Island. In 1997, an estimated 300,000 Atlantic salmon escaped from the Bainbridge net pens, then owned by Global Aquaculture. And from Washington, D.C., we read that snow leopards, white-clawed bears, and Central Asian mountain goats and wild sheep of the West Tian Shan Mountains are about to benefit from a new multi-million dollar biodiversity protection project. The World Bank and Global Environmental Facility approved Tuesday a grant equivalent to $10.15 million for a Central Asia transboundary biodiversity project in Kazakhstan, the Kyrgyz Republic, and Uzbekistan. The project will support the protection of vulnerable and unique biological communities within the West Tian Shan, a mountain range shared by the three countries located on the western edge of the Himalayan mountain system. The region contains habitats ranging from subtropical to tundra, which support unique and globally significant communities and threatened species such as the snow leopard, the white-clawed bear, and the Central Asian mountain goat and wild sheep. The region also contains wild relatives of horticultural, agricultural, and medicinal plants. The ecosystem and biodiversity of the area are under threat from increasing and uncontrolled overuse of natural resources, decreasing capacity to effectively manage the ecosystem, and the rapidly changing local and regional economic situation. The project will assist the three countries to improve the policy and legal framework for biodiversity conservation. Developing and implementing a strategy for budgetary reform is part of the project. And two conservation groups say they will seek federal protection for the California spotted owl under the Endangered Species Act, a move likely to escalate the struggle over California's Sierra Nevada forests. The announcement comes at a critical time as the U.S. Forest Service, the largest landowner in the mountain range, overhauls its strategy across the entire Sierra Nevada, and as it readjusts its approach in the Quincy area, home of a pioneering community forest planning effort called the Quincy Library Group. Citing scientific studies showing declining owl populations in the mountain range, the Sierra Nevada Forest Protection Campaign and the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity say that temporary Forest Service measures put in place in 1993 to protect California spotted owls are not working, and that the new planning efforts pose risks also. The Quincy Library Group project would significantly increase both the amount and intensity of logging, thereby accelerating loss and fragmentation of owl habitat, said Scott Black, director of the Sierra Nevada Forest Protection Campaign, in a letter to the Forest Service. Likewise, the Sierra-wide planning effort, which applies to 11 national forests, appears headed toward a, quote, an approach that would allow increased removal of large trees and other critical elements of owl habitat, Black said. But the Quincy Library Group and the U.S. Forest Service said conservationist concerns are off base. They're not interested in conservation. They're interested in zero commercial cut on our national forests, said Michael Jackson, a member of the Quincy Library Group, which favors thinning forests to reduce fire danger and improve wildlife habitat. Quote, most critters do not survive well in these dense overstocked stands. Quote, we're very concerned about the viability of the spotted owl. Unfortunately, conservationists have mischaracterized what we're doing, said Kent Conofton, U.S. Forest Service project leader for the Sierra-wide planning effort. We're consulting with experts, and they are doing a very careful evaluation of the California spotted owl and trying to craft a number of measures that would ensure its protection, Conofton said. It's clear to us that more logging is not the thing we're talking about. Conservationists say they plan to file a petition with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in July, asking the service to declare the California spotted owl federally threatened. And the Clinton administration is proposing to give the Endangered Species Act permits to Plum Creek Timber Company to take, that is, to kill or harm lynx, bull trout, steelhead, and chinook across the company's Washington state holdings, which cover hundreds of thousands of acres. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plans to add lynx and bull trout to Plum Creek's existing take permit under the company's No Surprises deal, even though the listing of these two species has not been finalized. The National Marine Fisheries Service will provide a new permit for steelhead and chinook, but will probably not require additional protection for these species. While Plum Creek Timber Company's existing permit, a habitat conservation plan, provides some improved stream buffers, it falls short of what salmonids need for their survival and recovery. The HCP plans to meaningfully protect, the HCP fails to meaningfully protect intermittent streams and upslope areas that affect water quality and fish conditions downstream. The HCP also fails to address logging on unstable slopes. Plum Creek's intensive logging practices are also likely to be detrimental to the lynx. And instead of giving Plum Creek a permit to take species across hundreds of thousands of acres, the services should protect what little habitat is left for imperiled species. After all, companies like Plum Creek are largely responsible for these species' imperiled status. Comments on the proposal are due by July 26th. An activist checklist and sample comments are available from American Lands. Contact Daniel Hall at wafcfbp@teleport.com. Once again, that's wafcfbp@teleport.com. And you can always contact the National Marine Fisheries, their number, 360-753-5828. That's 360-753-5828 for the National Marine Fisheries Service. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, their number is 360-753-4367. And get a copy of the draft HCP, implementation agreement, and other documents. The services are only providing a one-month comment period, despite the administration's recognition that longer comment periods are needed for large HCPs. If you want to go online, you can get information from www.gpo.ucop.edu/search/fedfld.html. Once again, that webpage is www.gpo.ucop.edu/search/fedfld.html. And finally, in some news about, well, not finally, but next, in some news about plants, the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity and the California Native Plant Society filed suit in June in San Francisco to force the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to list and protect 10 California plants as endangered species. The Santa Cruz tar plant, Keck checker mallow, Baker's and yellow larkspurs, Neeland prairie pennycress, La Gracioso thistle, the Lompoc yerba santa, the Gaviota tar plant, and a couple of subspecies of purple amole. All but two of the plants were included in the 1975 Endangered Species Act listing petition by the Smithsonian Institute, but the Fish and Wildlife Service withdrew the proposals for technical reasons and allowed the species to continue declining without protection because of political pressure for the last 23 years. And in the ensuing 23 years, the Baker's larkspur and the yellow larkspur have been reduced to 50 individual plants. Well, we have a little time for some more news here. In response to a federal court order, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service designated almost 52 miles of river as critical habitat for the endangered Huachuca water umbel on June 30th. The designation includes a long segment of the upper San Pedro River as well as portions of the Santa Cruz River, Soñoita Creek, and tributaries to the San Pedro. Federal government is not allowed to permit, authorize, or fund any action which adversely modifies critical habitat in the area. The designation will bolster the Southwest Center's campaign to save the San Pedro River from being sucked dry by urban sprawl and the U.S. Army's Fort Huachuca. And the center petitioned to list three wetland species, the umbel, the Canelo Hills Ladies' Tresses, and the Sonoran Tiger Salamander, as endangered in 1993 because of massive losses in wetlands and functioning river systems in southern Arizona. Following two successful lawsuits, all three were listed in 1997, but an additional lawsuit was necessary, however, to make the service designate critical habitat for the umbel. And in other news, the New Jersey Division of Fish, Wildlife, and Game is considering adding several species of invertebrates to its endangered species list for the first time. An advisory council has recommended protected status for 7 species of butterflies and 2 species of freshwater mussels. To protect the butterflies, wildlife officials will have to designate large areas, as the butterflies were found in a wide range of habitats, including wetlands and dry grasslands. James Applegate, a member of the advisory council, said, quote, "The things we know most about are the high-profile charismatic species, but there is no reason why we shouldn't have the same level of expertise about less well-known species." And fish restorations on efforts on Maine's Kennebec River took an historic step forward recently, as the Edwards Dam was breached and the river ran free for the first time in 162 years. The Kennebec River is the largest river in the United States to benefit from a dam removal, and the Edwards Dam is among the largest dams ever removed in the nation. And we're glad of that. It opens up 17 miles of spawning and nursing habitat. Populations of fish that are expected to benefit include a American shad, Atlantic salmon, striped bass, Atlantic sturgeon, short-nosed sturgeon, blueback herring, and alewives. Populations will not rebound overnight, but are expected to gain steadily over the next 20 years. And unfortunately, that's about all the time we have for news tonight, or today, depending on what time you're listening to Earth First Radio. To get your news announcements or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. Or send letters, donations, CDs, or cassettes to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you'd like more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal there at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Earth First Radio is broadcast live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, every Thursday evening at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. And the 4 is the number 4. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need is free for downloading at the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Well, our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off of the CD called Uncle Dennis's Earth First Hits. And Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you very much for listening, and please tune in again. And we're going to check out a little bit more music here on the way out. Here it is.
Listen as the trees sing their songs in the wind, lyrics and melodies for the spirit senses, songs of laughter and life, timeless things in timeless places. Do not be afraid to be strong, do not be afraid to love, but always remember. Always remember, love wisely, the love of being, free of possession. The love of being beyond desire. The love of being, respect for Mother Earth. Listen as the trees sing their songs in the wind, lyrics and melodies for the spirit senses, songs of laughter and life, timeless things in timeless places. Do Do not be afraid. Remember, the medicine is in the time. Live this life to last. Join the time of tomorrow and the past. Be like us. Serve the creation. We will endure. Listen as the trees sing their songs. Listen. Listen.